252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The manhunt for a mass shooter in the Los Angeles area is over. A white van surrounded in a parking lot about a half an hour away from the scene of the shooting in Monterey Park with a reported unidentified person inside. That person found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police now working to determine if he's the suspect in the shooting. Meanwhile, we're hearing stories from those inside the Los Angeles area dance studio when the mass shooter entered what had been a Lunar New Year celebration and opened fire, killing 10 people, injuring 10 more. David Duval's dance student was in the hall.
She said that the man had a long weapon, a gun, but she didn't dare look at his face. She was just scared to death.
The suspect, an Asian man between 30 and 50 years of age, was also believed to be the man who entered another dance hall in nearby Alhambra with a gun there. Police say that he wrested the weapon away before he fled. This is ABC News. After what he called resume embellishments, embattled New York Republican Congressman George Santos continues to face questions about his past.
Upon arrival at New York's LaGuardia Airport on Saturday, Congressman Santos, under fire for falsehoods about his past, refusing to answer questions about his campaign finances and two House committee assignments.
I look forward to serving the people.
Among the latest developments are reports that he performed in drag in Brazil, Santos simply telling WABC,
I was young and I had fun at a festival. Sue me for having a life.
Mark Remillard, ABC News, New York.
There was a public memorial service at Graceland today for Lisa Marie Presley. The celebration of life for Elvis's only daughter was held following a private service. Presley will be buried on the family compound next to her only son and across from her father. The mother of four died January 12th after suffering cardiac arrest. The official cause of death is still undetermined. Lisa Marie Presley was 54 years old. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wildlife advocates want to ban bear hunters from using dogs. That's because hunting dogs tend to get into fights with federally protected gray wolves. A new study says wolf packs suffer when a member dies because of human activity. Mike Mohn has more.
Researchers say wolves sometimes venture out of protected sites like national parks, and when one is killed by poaching or struck by a vehicle, the chances of its pack staying together decrease by 27%. If it's a pack leader, group stability decreases by more than 70%. Kira Cassidy of Yellowstone National Park led the research, says these impacts don't always surface in population estimates, but they're just as important.
Each wolf kind of has their own set of responsibilities and tasks, especially the leaders. And so when a pack loses one of those, it is the most detrimental.
In Wisconsin, conservation and wildlife groups are asking the U.S. Forest Service to ban hounding in Wisconsin-Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. Because of federal protections, wolves can't be hunted, but the petition says there are still violent encounters between hunting dogs and wolves, even when other animals are being hunted. The Center for Biological Diversity is among the groups seeking the ban, where Colette Atkins says it's a matter of public safety, too, with people hiking through forests.
We don't think this type of hunting has any place in our national forests, which really should be a haven for wildlife.
On a broader scale, some pro-hunting groups and farmers advocates say wolves prey on livestock that need to be protected. Separately, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is in the process of updating its wolf management plan. The public comment period has been extended to February 28th. Mike Mohn, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, These factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the MLK Monday Happier Happy Hour. I'm happy to have a fine co-devil here with me in Madison. He is William Walter from our Wisconsin Revolution. William, thanks for sticking around, man.
It's always a party when I'm in studio. I tell you what, we get nice weather and or warm weather at least.
Warm, relatively warm. And you know, technically there's booze in the cabinet. If you wanted something, you could make yourself a cocktail. But wanted to talk about clearing the field. And we kind of ended last hour talking about the U.S. Senate race here in the great state of Wisconsin. The Democrats, the also-rans, all cleared the field. And there were three of them that quit the race within 2 weeks of the election. And they were all qualified on the ballot. They all had exerted some sort of financial resources. One guy ran out of money, out of Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson. He had been running the longest. He was probably the financial greatest long shot. Didn't marry money, wasn't from money, didn't have any money. So I know why Tom got out of the race. But Alex Lazary was $15 million into that race. He got out. Why? If you've already invested $15 million, if you're on the ballot, why wouldn't he go to the finish line? Okay, so the thought is, well, Alex didn't want to finish second or certainly didn't want to finish lower than second after expending $15 million. Better not to know, better to graciously step aside than to actually see it through to the finish line.
And you look like a good guy then too, right? I
do you?
To the party, perhaps, or to the average voter.
The donor class appreciates this sort of behavior because I'm not sure who they're trying to tip their caps to. But getting out. I mean, hell, man, if I was an Alex Lazary guy, if I'd have supported his ass, if I went to the convention, if I voted for him in the straw poll, if I couldn't wait to get my ass out there because the unions liked Alex Lazary. There were a lot of groups that supported Alex Lazary. He had lots of lined up endorsements because I suspect he's a guy who had probably given lots of money, greased lots of political wheels. And when it was his turn, you know what? They reciprocated. So he had a lot going for him for a relatively young man in the race. Why get out? Because you're a nice guy? Doesn't seem plausible. And the most implausible one, and I've never quite understood, after the Dobbs decision came down, you had one female. Jillian Bettino had cleared the lane. She was off running for state treasurer. So you had one female candidate in the U.S. Senate race on behalf of the Democrats. And she was very dynamic. And she was probably, on some level, the candidate that maybe had the best claim to fame to go serve in the U.S. Senate. She had worked in D.C. She had worked in appropriations. She had worked at the Pentagon. She had a resume, she claimed, that included saving a lot of money. So those are things, you know. She had a state treasurer's resume. She had one statewide office. And she had a lot of gusto, it, whatever it is that some people have and others lack for. She had a lot of it. And Dobbs came down on the Friday night of the Democratic Party convention.
That's what I wanted to touch on. I believe it was the Thursday night, actually. I might be mistaken, but this is a fun story of how you and I met, actually, Crudy, was... you are correct. It was the Friday night, because I canceled my Friday night reservation at... it was in La Crosse, I believe.
La Crosse was the location. I believe Dobbs came down earlier in the morning.
On that Friday.
On that Friday, and that was sort of the pre-convention Friday. Technically, the Dems did it Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, you're correct.
But everyone was coming to town, and I was in town, and I was doing live broadcast that day. I had Brad Path, and I had a few others at Buzzard Billy's right there on Pearl Street, right outside the convention hall. I mean, you could have made it any easier. And she declined to show up that day, and maybe with the same thought you had. In response to Dobbs, she went and protested. She went and got video protesting and shared upon social media this protest, this guttural reaction to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I would have preferred to give her the large media platform, an ever-growing platform that was Civic Media, that was our radio network. She opted otherwise. She did not choose to stand until the vote. And you know what? If I'm not Sarah Godlewski, but if I was, I'd regret that decision the rest of my life. I would, because we will never know what the electorate could have done in the face of the Dobbs decision, because she didn't stick around long enough to find out. And while Mandela, lots of great things to say about Mandela Barnes, that's not the question right now. The question is, why did the whole field clear the field? And after the 2020 election, and I can tell you, I lived through 2016. I was in Iowa. I was in New York. I was in Indiana. I was in Ohio. I was in California. I mean, I followed these primaries state by state by state. Michigan. We went everywhere. Certainly Wisconsin, where Bernie won big. Mm-hmm. And if you look where Donald Trump was successful in the blue wall states, Bernie also did very well. And Bernie's conversation was about the rigged economy, about the fact that the economy is stacked against the working stiff. And it resonated because people know they hadn't gotten a raise in 30 years. People realized that what he was describing was their life. And it was easy for Donald Trump to pick up some of the populist messaging, didn't give a damn about the actual people, the outcomes, but he learned the vocabulary of the Bernie Sanders. And he stole some of that populist thunder. Well, anyways, there's a little animus. I saw some pretty pissed off Bernie supporters at the 2016 convention in Philadelphia. We were there. Ultimately, Hillary, the candidate, not successful.
Do you remember Nevada, too, when they stormed out?
I was not in Nevada, but I was in Nevada for the presidential primary. And I can tell you this. This year, 2020, 2 years ago, I was in Nevada for the presidential primary, and I had seen Joe Biden in Iowa. I had broadcast. We had exclusive broadcast rights on behalf of the Teamsters, six candidates, including Biden, Bernie, Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and I forget, it could have been de Blasio for all I know, some other unimpressive Democrat. Biden didn't wow the room, but I think ultimately got the support of the Teamsters. Also saw our friend Joe Biden show up after losing or falling distantly in the Iowa caucuses. Then we jump into Nevada, right? Joe had no juice in Nevada. Tom Steyer, the billionaire, had more juice walking the picket line in Nevada than he did. I mean, I was watching people like Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren had more juice than Joe Biden. Joe Biden was a guy looking for a friend in Nevada. That was my impression. Fast forward to South Carolina. If James Clyburn had not come forward and endorsed and said, he knows us. If James Clyburn had not gotten the promise, and I think it was a promise that Joe made in response. I don't think it was a quid pro quo, but Joe Biden said effectively, you get a black Supreme Court justice as a tip of the cap if I win. And he came out on the debate stage in South Carolina and said, that's what you get. And it was the Clyburn endorsement. It followed very shortly thereafter, I think, by the full-throated behind-the-scenes endorsement of Barack Obama.
You have to talk about Obama's involvement, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't blame Obama in some way, shape, or form by being frustrated. In 2012, Bernie Sanders wanted to primary the incumbent president. Maybe Bernie wasn't his favorite guy, let's just say. And Bernie had just maybe won Iowa, clearly won New Hampshire, and clearly won Nevada, and was starting to pick up some steam and some delegates.
When he won Nevada, I tell you what, Crudy, that's like the highest faith I've had in the American electoral system in my entire life. I was riding. I was just like on cloud nine at that point.
Well, I was in Nevada, and the nearest state where we had logic to be was in Minneapolis for Super Tuesday. And Wisconsin's primary was coming after that. And we were waiting, you know. I mean, I was in the radio business. I had Milwaukee and Madison networked at the time. Couldn't wait. I had just put up a brand new radio signal in the Milwaukee market in deference to the fact the DNC was coming to town. And that, you know how that turned out. But the more important part of the issue, and I'd like to hear from the audience as well. He's William Walter. I'm Crudy. You can call us and be a part of this show this hour, 844-967-2789. I can support and rationalize why it was acceptable for Barack Obama to clear the field. If you think that Donald Trump is so damaging to the nation and Joe Biden is the only guy that could possibly beat him, or at least the most likely candidate, well, Joe didn't have any coattails. Joe didn't have a real governing legislative majority. And, you know, I can tell you, my progressive friend said, hey, all things considered, been pretty happy about Joe. Tell you what, so have I.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but I believe that to be true as well. I think you could make the argument that he might, accomplishments that he has done as of right now, today, I think you could make the argument that he's the best president in the 21st century. Now, I'm not saying that I would make that argument, but I have heard some compelling cases as to why that would be the case. And you touched on it. So, there's something with Obama I think we have to point out because, you know, I mentioned the being a Bernie delegate was my introduction officially to politics, but Obama's 08 and 12 and 2012 campaign was really what got me involved. And I think so many young people, you know, hope, change. We had this young, hip dude coming into office. He was going to change the game, but the game can't be changed. And so many young people put so much time and effort into getting Obama into office, and then they didn't see the kind of true transformational societal changes they
But
expected.
That's not what he was promising. He was just allowing you to
that.
Project upon him
I'm not saying
your
that.
Hope for hope and change.
Remember, what matters is how the voters understand it, right? And if they were expecting some kind of systemic shift and they didn't get it, I can understand why they'd be apathetic.
The Tea Party revolt against Obama in 2010 destroyed the state of Wisconsin, has been decimating, and we saw 1,000 state legislators, Democrats, lose their seats under Obama, and mostly because they wouldn't defend Obamacare. Come back. He's William Walter. I'm Crudy. Call us 844-96-PARTY.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
The Rick Smith Show. where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with lows around 18. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Chance of flurries, 23. Temperatures a bit above average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the upper 20s. Chance for snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 18.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
Ha! Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the MLK Monday edition. We got some sound from the President, Joe Biden, earlier today, addressed the nation. Let's play it, if we could, E-Bone, for the fair audience. And also, William Walters, co-deviling with me, if you're just joining us. Where you been? William Walters, Walter, singular. You know, you're so cool. You seem like many, many people. But, William Walter.
I can sit back in my chair and be like, you're right, Crute. I am.
You know, that's usually the Dom role. Don't crowd the cool lane. I leave that for Dom. But let's play Uncle Joe. He likes to wear the navigators every now and again. Joe wears his sunglasses at night. Play it for the people. Cut 10.
Silence is complicity. Silence is complicity. We cannot remain silent, even if all we're doing is pointing it out and putting pressure on it to change.
President Joe Biden on MLK, on MLK Day, cut 11, please.
Dr. King's life and legacy, in my view, show us the way forward. We just have to look back. We got to be prepared.
More from Biden, cut 12, please.
This is a time for choosing. Will we choose democracy over autocracy, or community over chaos, love or hate? These are the questions of our time.
More from President Joe Biden, lucky number 13.
It's wonderful to be with you on this special day.
That was kind of a short one, E-Bone. Probably could have skipped that one. How about let's jump ahead. Let's see if there's any more substantial sound bites. Let's say, what, like 15?
The path is clear. To go forward, we need to go together. So let's be guided by Dr. King's light.
One more. Cut 16, please.
Many of you have been working on these issues for a long time. Over the past 2 years, we've gotten an awful lot done together. We got a lot done together. So let's keep it going.
Now, here's something I didn't hear in this short round of sound bites from President Joe Biden speaking on MLK Day. But during the course of this speech, William, Biden called Republican lawmakers fiscally demented. You may be unaware, but we are about to teeter off a debt cliff here, like later this week, January 19th, I believe. Today is what, the 16th? Give us till Thursday, and the country, the nation could shut down. And that, of course, will be the intransigence of the new Republican House. But anyways, here's what Joe had to say. President Joe Biden lashed out at Republican lawmakers today as being fiscally financially, demented. in an early volley at the opposition party now controlling the House of Representatives. He said some of the very first legislation proposed by the House Republicans would further enrich the wealthy while adding to the tax burden of the middle class. These guys are fiscally demented, Biden said. They don't quite get it. While Republicans like to portray themselves as fiscally conservative and deride Democrats as big spending party, Biden said, the reality was different. I reduced the deficit by $350 billion. And this year, the federal deficit is down $1 trillion plus dollars. Hear me. That's a fact. His remarks came in an address at the Washington Hotel at an annual gathering honoring the MLK Jr. on the holiday that celebrates the late civil rights leader. They also came 2 days after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said she would have to take extraordinary measures to avert a government debt default. This freaking week, this week, Biden said Friday he would not negotiate with Republicans who threaten to use the debt problem for leverage to damage budget cuts, saying, demand budget cuts, saying it should not be a political football, but past standoffs over the debt ceiling have led to government shutdowns. The 80-year-old president, who's expected to announce soon whether he will seek re-election in 2024, said Monday that he was ready to work with Republicans. How do you work with a party that intends to shut down the government as their first elective act?
Well, that's the key point. I mean, when your entire party ideology is predicated on the government doesn't work, we should privatize everything, and you're the ones elected into government, thus making it not work purposely, it makes a pretty compelling argument for their privatization of everything, right? And people who are just not well-versed with, I mean, political literacy in this country is non-existent, right? I am slightly removed from high school now. It's been about 10 years, but I had one poli-sci class. It was an elective, and I absolutely loved it. But again, that's not mandated, and that was senior year, second semester. There's not a lot of people who are taking a elected course senior year, second semester, and putting the time and effort that they would put into, you know, an AP calculus course or something, right? We just don't teach our students how to read the system. And it creates a lot of people who see government failing them time and time again and then think to themselves, oh, maybe privatization is the key. And then you have these clowns who are literally willing to put the livelihood of hundreds of millions of Americans on the line just to push their unpopular ideology.
First and foremost, William Walter, my fine co-devil from our Wisconsin Revolution. You talk about being 10 years from high school. Man, I got sweaters older than you.
You probably do. Yeah.
I may. Some old Cliff Huxtable sweaters back in the back of the closet somewhere. William, as we take this break, and we'll come back here in just a minute, we would like to hear from the audience today. But here's the question. As just referenced there, it's time for Joe Biden to make a decision. Tell us, is he going to run for re-election? Typically, you would make that decision. You'd make a public announcement as an incumbent president roughly by the time you make your State of the Union address. And that is scheduled for February 7th. We're going to play it live right here across the Civic Media Network. We'll commit the resources, but it'll either be his swan song, his announcement that he is the lame duck and he's going to clear the field and allow some young star to upcome for the Democratic Party, or probably, I think it's more likely, he'll announce he's running for re-election.
He's got to run again. Who else are they going to run?
Oh, I got lots of alternatives.
I mean, have you seen the polling numbers?
On Biden or?
The field. Let's say the field, if Biden were to not run. That incumbency bonus, oh, it is so valuable. We saw it with Ron Johnson, too.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We'll get your opinion. Should Biden run again or clear the field? I'll tell you on the other side, but I want to hear from you. 844-96-PURDY.
But so what? These guys are they're fiscally demented, I think. They don't quite get it.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The manhunt for a mass shooter in the Los Angeles area is over. A white van surrounded in a parking lot about a half an hour away from the scene of the shooting in Monterey Park with a reported unidentified person inside. That person found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police now working to determine if he's the suspect in the shooting. Meanwhile, we're hearing stories from those inside the Los Angeles area dance studio when the mass shooter entered what had been a Lunar New Year celebration and opened fire, killing 10 people, injuring 10 more. David Duval's dance student was in the hall.
She said that the man had a long weapon, a gun, but she didn't dare look at his face. She was just scared to death.
The suspect, an Asian man between 30 and 50 years of age, was also believed to be the man who entered another dance hall in nearby Alhambra with a gun there. Police say that he wrested the weapon away before he fled. This is ABC News.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour, rolling through with your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Got William Walter, co-Devlin for me, all the way from here to you home safe for at least 6 o'clock, whatever comes first. Chris, give me just a second. I'm going to get to you first. Here on the show today, Chris from Sun Prairie, our old friend. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I'm good. I'm a big no on replacing Biden. I really think that incumbency does matter. I think he got us through a lot of the pandemic. I think people won't forget that. I think the forgiveness of the student loans goes pretty far. And I think that he is trying to get some good legislation for climate and workers and the infrastructure package, all of that stuff matters. And I don't know why we would not want to keep going with him because he's actually been working on his promises.
Chris, here's what I would say. He will soon be very politically damaged by the classified documents that were at his house and also at apparently the think tank, and the fact that the Republican House, the Jim Jordan, the Benghazi 2.0 is just coming down the pike. 2 years from now, Joe Biden will be a diminished candidate in many ways, just due to the negative press, the drumbeat over and over and over again, Chris. Much like Donald Trump was an incumbent, but he was a damaged incumbent. I'm telling you, Joe Biden is going to be a very damaged incumbent 2 years from now.
You think, Crudy, though? Like,
well, you know, maybe people
Chris.
Are getting more savvy. Maybe people are getting more savvy than that, you know? Maybe people are sick of the press telling us what to think.
Well, I think, too, Biden has a long history of, you know, he's been in the Senate for, what, 40, 50 years at this point? If he is already damaged candidate in the sense that there are the 94 crime bills, there's the credit card Joe nicknames, racial jungle Joe, like, there are a lot of clips and things he has done and said in the past that I think he already was damaged in that sense, and he still won. So I got to go with Chris here that incumbency bonus, you cannot understate how important it is to already have, I am in office, I can continue what I'm doing. If your life has been improved, if you are doing better than you were in 2016 to 2020, stick with me and we'll keep working on it.
Chris, I know you have historically been a Bernie Sanders supporter, and you and I talked recently, and you and I are both supportive of the policies put forth and the successes legislatively of Joe Biden. I told you, I think McConnell's slipping. So five major bipartisan pieces of legislation, about seven overall. And Chris, my greatest fear is the average American person couldn't tell you a single one of them.
Well, that's why we have to educate people. I mean, that's our job. That's why you're doing what you're doing with your radio stations, because we're going to let people know what's going on. But I think people are getting a little bit more savvy about it. I really do. I do want to, can I mention something that I think would be effective for people to do
sure.
right now?
We're talking on the radio. Now's your time, Chris.
Well, Russ Feingold had put out an article, and he had asked people to write to their senators and to ask them to support efforts to have the Senate rules changed, and we could get in touch with Chuck Schumer and get in touch with our senators and ask them to change a couple of Senate rules. And these rules would be changed, and with their changing, we could appoint federal judges. There's like 300 federal judges just sitting there waiting to be appointed, and we could do this, and we don't need the Republicans to help us at all. And this would help to even out the court from all those Trump appointees that were pushed through, and it's just something that could be done right away, and nobody could hold them up at all. And so there's an article out there by Russ Feingold, and I can give it to you, and you can link it to your page. But I really suggest that people look for the article by Russ and ask for these three rules to be enacted.
Well, Chris, it would certainly be worth a Google. If you share it with me, I will share it on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page on Facebook, of course. My only question about guys like Joe Biden, and Joe Biden was a watered down version of a real progressive. The actual policies I wanted were more like Bernie Sanders, and Joe didn't really have coattails, and therefore Joe really hasn't been able to deliver a full-throated legislative agenda. I mean, we all know he would have done more, but Manchin and Sinema prevented him from doing more. Well, of course, he didn't have a bigger margin of victory because he's a moderate, and a lot of progressives weren't excited.
Are you saying run it back, Bernard 3.0, Mike? That's what I think I'm hearing.
I will tell you, I think Bernie was hurt by the heart condition a little bit, and I'd seen Bernie in Cedar Rapids looking awfully red during the summer, and I wondered, you know, is Bernie, I'd never seen Bernie suffer from the labors of campaigning all day long, from being on his feet, and he had a red face, and he was cooking in the sun. And I had a red badger hat, and I'm thinking, Bernie, your face is redder than my hat.
Yeah.
And less than a week later, we found out he had a cardiac episode. Well, I think it hurt his candidacy in 2020. I mean, it didn't propel him. And I certainly think if you look at the stroke that John Fetterman had during the elective campaign, he backed into a victory. He didn't cruise to a victory.
Fetterman also got to go up against arguably the worst candidate in the nation.
Sure.
Certainly helps.
Well, Joe Biden got to go up against the worst candidate ever. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we had seen the destructive powers of Donald Trump 4 years. All the people that said, hell, you know, how bad could it be? It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And we saw that demonstrated. And Joe Biden beat him by the skin of his teeth in the coin flip in the U.S. Senate. And about, 12 congressional seats. And Nancy Pelosi, she shepherded him. She was great. Chuck Schumer, adequate. The legislation, not progressive, not full-throated. And in fact, left Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin able to make the legitimate claim, Democrats really don't deliver for you any more than Republicans do. And what was delivered, nobody told you about. All they did is they left you wanting more. If it wasn't for the veto of Sinema and Manchin, we could have had what we really wanted. So what we did get, no one even bragged about. All they told you is we should have gotten more.
Or Republicans used what was good accomplishments from Biden and flipped it on its head. You know, he's giving all these lazy millennials student debt relief because they all want to work as baristas and don't want to get a real job.
And that, of course, hadn't even come to fruition because it's all jammed up by GOP, attorney generals in the courts. So the stuff he could have done, he tried to deliver on behalf of millennials. I like to see him deliver national marijuana legalization. I don't think he's there yet. You want to deliver millennials? Do that, Joe. That's your reelective campaign.
It honestly makes me angry that this has not been done yet. It's so free. Such free political capital to do something that's universally positive. I believe it's if you add the percentages of people who want full legalization and medical legalization together, it's almost 80%. So 8 out of 10 people want some form of legalized cannabis. And because it's so popular, maybe that's why nothing's getting done about it.
Well, I tell you what, I think at least 2/3 of people want the codification of Roe v. Wade, a legislative solution, which you're sure as hell not going to get when Republicans, through their minority rule, can filibuster and block this. And you can say, well, you know, it should be on each state. Well, here in the state of Wisconsin, I would say we are not deep red. We're not supposed to be Mississippi here. But we're living under the governance of a minority. It's minority dictating to the majority policies that don't make any sense. And then they use these, and we talked about it to start the show. Here in the state of Wisconsin, they've got some cynical, non-binding referendums they're going to throw on the spring ballot. Because the other part is the courts, control of the courts. And here in the state of Wisconsin, nothing changes if all the gerrymandered seats give Republicans 2/3 majorities, regardless of the outcome of the election.
It was talked about at the WISC Politics Forum. It's grotesque that right now we have representatives choosing their voters rather than voters choosing their representatives. It's antithetical to everything that a democracy is supposed to represent, yet that's the state of Wisconsin politics.
That absolutely is. So we talked about, you know, is it the most important election in 20 years? I don't know. But it's for the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Here we have a spring election, and the outcome will determine whether or not the most partisan gerrymander in America continues to take root for another decade.
So perhaps not the previous 20 years, but certainly the next 2 decades. You could make the argument that this is the most.
Well, I would say since 2011, since the actual gerrymander, it was mathematically, it was the most partisan gerrymander, I believe, in our nation's history. And the least change ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court by a 4-3 said bake that cake for another decade, unless a new case comes before the court. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Your participation is always welcome here. 844-967-2789. I guess the broader case, William Walter, my fine co-devil for the rest of the hour. I guess my case, William, is Dems make the safe choice. They chose to clear the primary field here in the state of Wisconsin. And for what motivated each individual candidate, I couldn't tell you. But the result was you left the Democratic electorate wanting for choices. And I feel
that's
like
the key. That's the key that nobody talks about right there. Is so, again, the Democrats wanted to have this united front. I understand that. I get it. Even if every candidate that dropped out came out and said, like, look, we saw polling numbers. We knew what was going to happen. We knew we weren't going to win. This was Mandela's race. So we dropped out to give him, you know, more time and less. He wouldn't have to focus on the primary itself. He could jump right into the general. But again, it does not matter what the point was. It does not matter what the reasoning that the Democrats used was. What matters is how the voters see it. And to a lot of voters, they saw it as the party is clearing the field for their chosen candidate. That will never fly. You look at my example that I always use when I'm having this conversation is grocery stores. You have 50 different types of cereal, right? People are walking through the aisles. They're picking and choosing, or, you know, their kids are like, ooh, do I want the one with the big tiger on it, or do I want the one with the toucan, or do I want Count Chocula? The illusion of choice makes them feel like they're participating in the system, even if the choice doesn't really impact anything at the end of the day.
So what, mom's going to still force feed you Cheerios? You're still going to get your Joe Biden nose?
No. All 50 of these different cereal brands are owned by the same company. It's General Mills or Kellogg, right? Like these handful of corporations own every single one of these brands, but they release all these different brands so that when you're walking through the aisle, you can be like, boy, there is nothing like American capitalism. Look at all these beautiful different cereal choices we have. Oh, it's so wonderful to live in America. I have such freedom of choice. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter which cereal you buy. The money is going to the same place. And I think that voters look at primaries in a very similar vein. Even if everybody knows that Mandela is going to win, supporters of Godlewski, supporters of Lazary, supporters of Tom Nelson want to feel like their voice is being heard or at least considered, so that you can see what the end results were. You can see how many people agreed with me. You can see what the rest of Wisconsinites believe. But why do you have this primary system in place if not to choose the candidate? They earn their way into the general by winning the primary. And I'm not trying to criticize any of the candidates themselves, because from their perspective, again, if you knew you were going to lose, why would you waste more money? Why would you keep running this campaign that's not going to win instead of presenting that united front? The point I simply want to make is it doesn't matter what the reasoning behind the united front or what everybody dropping out was. What matters is how the voters understand it, because they're the ones that are going to be coming into the polls, and they're the ones whose opinion matters. You know, we all have one voice, one person, one voice. Your voice is your vote, and you need to be heard every cycle. And if you're not being heard, if you're not having the opportunity to choose which candidate you want, then what's the point of even voting? It leads into the apathy. We've been talking about it all episode, why so many American voters are apathetic. There you go. There's another reason why.
Well, I very much felt that way about the presidential race. And that's what was so frustrating about the 2020 cycle. It's not that I have any great issue with Joe Biden. I like a lot of his legislative achievements, although I think they're soon to get buried in subcommittee hearings on Hunter Biden and his laptop from hell. And of course, Joe Biden's got his own drama now with the classified documents. I think he will be damaged goods 2 years from now. I think in a different way than, you know, some of the prior statements he might have made in his senatorial career. This is different. This is his governance. Come back. Jim, you're next on the phones. If you're patient, be after Jim. 844-967-2789.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 18 tonight under overcast skies, northwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow, high of 28. Overcast skies again tomorrow night, a few flurries possible at times, lows around 23. Temperatures above average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the upper 20s. Chance for snow Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 18.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day, your voice matters here. 844-967-2789. My little buddy Dominic returns tomorrow, as does Tyler Wall for the Badgers, man. They've been missing Tyler much more so than I've been missing Dom, because I got a fine code devil. You're a hell of a lot better in the post than Dom ever was. He is William Walter. William, thanks for coming around today, and thank you all for joining us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Jim from Appleton. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, Kirby?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. I traveled across the state and doing a little radio show, hanging out with William, having a good time. Now you're joining us. I hope you advance the conversation. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to retrace a little bit, going back to the Supreme Court justice race.
Yes, sir.
From what I've read and heard and seen of Everett Mitchell, he is an eminently qualified candidate for the Supreme Court.
I agree.
I have a question for him. Though he's not here, I have a question for him. When the Republicans come out with their veiled racist attacks, what is his response going to be? Because I just went through an election cycle with an eminently qualified Mandela Barnes running for Senate. I voted for Mandela, but they suppressed the vote enough that he lost. And I don't want that to happen again in the Supreme Court.
Well, I would say the unfortunately, Jim, for Everett, he's had to respond to the Daniel Bice article, the allegation against him. Apparently, some child custody stuff has snuck into the public record. And according to Everett Mitchell, and I have questioned him about this, he thinks probably his progressive opponent, although those that know Judge Janet Protasiewicz assure me she didn't bless it, but, you know, it's a big campaign. But anyways, Jim, if he can't survive this, the rest of it will become irrelevant. So the question is if someone makes an allegation, the judge doesn't uphold it, there's no criminal charges, the man that's been accused denies it, and the woman that made the prior accusation says it's irrelevant, it was a personal thing, we're going through a lot in our family. Jim, my fear is most people didn't read past the headline. Most people didn't take the time to judge the man by the entirety of his character. And I wonder, in a low turnout spring primary, if this will be enough to cast a pale upon his campaign. I have no idea, Jim. I hope it's not. I really like this guy. Every time I've met him, he seems like a man of character to me.
I would agree with you, and I hope it's not also. And I did read through it all, and it sounds like so much dribble that a right-wing media source would put out just to disparage him. I have a feeling that they think they can beat Janet easier than they can beat him, or they wouldn't have done it.
I'm not sure. The thought is, first you got to win the primary, right? If the Republicans had right. this information, they wouldn't have leaked it in the primary. I don't think that they see the Protasiewicz, pronounced like witch, Protasiewicz is, if anything, is probably the party choice.
Have you seen money, Crute? Judge Janet has like $900,000 in her campaign account. Everett Mitchell has like $30,000, I believe. Wisconsin right now, some of these right-leaning publications have already been attacking Janet. So I'm with you completely. I think the Republicans would have saved this for the general.
Jim, I think if it came from anywhere, it was either a Democratic donor or someone that this information came upon, and they were so concerned that it would come out in the general, they wanted to get this information out there now. I've heard it suggested it wasn't
Mandela.
What's that?
Which should have happened with Mandela during the primary.
Well, Jim,
they wouldn't have been able to flog him so bad with his taxes.
Well, Jim, here, and I appreciate you listening, Jim, and participating. I've taken so much issue that the Democrats never challenge their opponents' weaknesses, at least here in the state of Wisconsin in the primary. It's a big contest of nice. And I don't know if all you're going to do is say, I'm a nice guy and she's a nice person and they're nice people, then why run against them? Because whoever has the most name recognition on day one is going to win the race. And that's the way it's come to fruition in multiple different races here in the state of Wisconsin. Whoever had the most clout on day one won the primary. What do you know? Mandela Barnes, lieutenant governor, had the most clout, won the primary. No one ever challenged him. None of these challenges came from his primary opponents. If you thought that he was vulnerable on these issues, challenge him during the primary. There are plenty of debate and candidate forums and opportunities to challenge him in the primary. Now, by that logic, if this is going to come out about Everett Mitchell, if this is disqualifying, and I don't think it should be, but if you do, better to find out in the primary. But strategically, Jim, logic would dictate, this didn't come from the Republican side. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak a few more in if there's time. Jake from Eureka, man. How you doing, Jake?
Hey, Crudy, I just got to say a word about that conservative compulsive liar from New York State, Congressman George Santos, you know, who should resign, but he doesn't want to. And, you know, I'm okay with Santos not resigning. He can remain as an albatross around the Republican Party's neck, just like Lauren Boebert. I know she almost lost her election, but I actually thought it was a good thing overall that Boebert from Colorado remained in office, because now everybody, you know, knows what fascist fools the Republican Party really is. I mean, hell, they made Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House. Need I say more?
Well, I think you've said it all, Jake. Very, very thoughtful. Thinking of our friends, we played out in Eureka, California for like 5 years, and Northern California has been through a lot, weather-wise, earthquake-wise. So anyways, man, thinking about you guys in Northern California, I know we got a lot of friends there. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show on this MLK Day. Thank you to William Walter from Our Wisconsin Revolution. William, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Crudy. It's always a party.
Well, we'll find a bigger role for you. You're going to be a more consistent contributor around here. We're going to make it happen. I know Ebone's a big fan. Ebone, thank you for what you do. Thank you all for listening. As mentioned, my little buddy Dominic, probably going to return with, you know, some stories. He was in New York, and I strongly suspect it's because New York just opened up its first legal marijuana dispensary.
Why can't that be us?
Why indeed. Thank you all for listening. Stick around. Native Roots Radio is next. And then Mark Thompson, the Paul Revere Show. That's the guy that Bob Spindell called a partisan. Listen for yourself. 7 o'clock across the Civic Media Network. Keep it locked right here. Thank you, William. Thank you, Ebone. Thank you all. Have a great night.
It's never been done before. So need planning, a large crew.
From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology. It starts with good genetics, and Rank Seed evaluates more than 80,000 data points of breeding material. By planting plots throughout the Midwest and Great Plains, we expose our genetics to a wide range of environments, which helps us select the best varieties. We then utilize the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our customers. Rank Seed. Results since 1846.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.